With a unanimous vote from council at their May 20th meeting, Kingston is joining the growing number of Ontario municipalities formally opposing Bill 5, chiefly due to environmental concerns. Bill 5, or the Protect Ontario by Unleashing Our Economy Act, was proposed by the Doug Ford PC government with the promise of speeding up infrastructure and resource extraction projects. In a release announcing Bill 5 in April, the province says the bill will, quote, cut the red tape and remove duplicative processes. This includes replacing the Endangered Species Act with a new framework that reduces protections for at-risk species and enabling the creation of special economic zones that may override local planning authority. Bill 5 is currently making its way through Queen's Park and expected to have a third reading in June. While the release also states the province will maintain robust environmental standards throughout, a chorus of environmental organizations and Kingston City Council remain skeptical. Councillor Lisa Osanek brought the motion to formally oppose the bill as a last-minute addition to the agenda last week. She outlined the key environmental concerns that motivated the motion.
Bill 5 has been opposed by every environmental group I'm aware of. Ontario Nature, CEPAWS, Davis Suzuki, Eco Justice, the Canadian Environmental Law Association, to name a few. These are the specifics. For nearly 20 years, Ontario's Endangered Species Act has been a cornerstone of environmental protection. It requires that species at risk and the habitats they rely on be protected from harm. But Bill 5 will repeal the ESA and replace it with a weaker, hollowed-out act called the Species Conservation Act. This new act is so narrow, it will virtually, ensure the continued decline and extinction of the species it's supposed to protect. Bill 5 will amend the Endangered Species Act to make it optional, not mandatory, to list the species at risk. Bill 5, if passed, also actually gives Cabinet the power to decide which species deserve protection, effectively making protection a political choice, not a scientific one. The new law also defines animal habitat to mean only the nest, den, or immediate area around it, not the forests, wetlands, or feeding grounds they need to survive. Cabinet is allowed to further narrow that definition. This would leave species that are already in decline due to habitat loss without the basic things that they need to survive. The bill also redefines what qualifies as habitat, which could limit the areas protected for vulnerable species and lead to even more habitat loss. The remaining landscape could resemble basically a moonscape without regulation. Even harassment of at-risk wildlife would be unregulated. Right now, developers must apply for permits when projects threaten species or their habitat. These are reviewed by environmental experts and they come with requirements to reduce harm. Under Bill 5, that process is replaced by an online registration form. Once a company clicks submit, they're free to start building. There's no more safeguards. The registry is not even required to be public. The public won't know what's going on. And the government will no longer be required to help species recover. The requirements for recovery plans that are now in the Species Act are being eliminated in Bill 5. With Bill 5, the province is walking away from its responsibility to protect and prevent the loss of species and protect the health of our ecosystems. We're already in the middle of a biodiversity crisis. More than 230 species in Ontario are already at risk of extinction. The Endangered Species Act needs to be enforced and Bill 5 needs to be stopped.
While the release from the province also promises to honor constitutional obligations to Indigenous communities, including the duty to consult, Councillor Brandon Tozo noted the pushback from Indigenous leaders.
I also wanted to highlight one part of this that I find particularly troubling, other than the endangered species aspect, is just how much the First Nations community is being railroaded by this when it comes to economic development. So there have been a number of different First Nations groups that have spoken out against this because they are afraid of their interests not being listened to when it comes to mining in the Ring of Fire. So I think this is a perfect example of bodies of government paying lip service when it comes to reconciliation, but when economic push comes to shove, they're not really walking the walk.
Councillor Connie Glenn also brought attention to the portion of the bill that would allow Cabinet to designate any location in Ontario a special economic zone, where the government can speed up projects by exempting companies from complying with provincial laws or regulations.
There's also, you know, special economic zones that could be created. We could have one of these in Kingston and have no ability to say what gets built and how. We're in the middle of creating a new official plan. We are doing this thoughtfully with a lot of consultation, and this could be dropped on us and there will be no consultation. We'll be told what gets to go in this special zone. So, you know, we are allowing control and contribution from our own community to the conversation to be taken away. Now, I understand the challenges that developers face with permits, and yes, they are slow, and expedition of permitting, I think, is something that we do need to look at. But this is like taking a sledgehammer to an issue rather than a fine precision instrument to figure out how we can make it work better. I don't think that this is going to accomplish this unleashing of the economy.
Council voted unanimously to oppose Bill 5 and urged the province of Ontario to, quote, support housing and infrastructure development in ways that align with sound environmental planning and wildlife protection and empower municipalities with appropriate planning tools. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.